Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Mark. Good morning, and good morning, Fairhope.
So you've got a city council meeting this evening, and you've got the work session. Work session starts at 4 o'clock, is that right?
4:30.
4:30.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that can be seen on the city's YouTube channel, and then you've got the city council meeting after that at 6 p.m., is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, Mark.
Okay. So what's on the agenda tonight?
Well, you know, the work session's fairly light. Actually, both meetings are fairly light. We've had some rather lengthy meetings over the past couple of months. But tonight, we're going to have the police chief, Stephanie Hollenhead, will make some presentations. I think she's got some officer presentations that she would like to make in public tonight, which is great. And then we have our six-month financial review, which will be presented by City Treasurer Kim Creech. I can give you just a little sneak preview in that we are doing very good. Financially, our sales tax revenues are actually exceeding expectations, and we were very cautious with COVID. You know, when we passed the budget, we didn't know what to expect, and we still don't know what the future holds, so we still must be cautious. But we're exceeding our revenues on sales tax. We're keeping our spending in check. We're right on cue with our property taxes. Lodging taxes, as can be understood with people not traveling quite as much, are down, still down below pre-COVID levels, but they're going to bounce back really quickly. You know, we had Arts and Crafts Festival. You know, there was a lot that went on in the last 7 to 10 days. We finally had an Arts and Crafts Festival, and that was well attended. Obviously not as large as it was pre-COVID, but a very, very good turnout nonetheless. They had the Ladies Night Out event last week. They had the Eastern Shore Repertory Theater play on the Bluff towards the end of last week and some of the weekend. So a lot of things going on, and I look for this to be a good financial picture. We're in very good shape. You know, we haven't borrowed money in a long time. You may see that we borrowed some money for some refinancing. We may have borrowed some money for some short-term financing and then pay those things back quickly. But I think that Ms. Creech tonight will show the citizens of Fairhope that we're doing very good financially.
Well, when interest rates dropped dramatically, that was when it was obviously time to refinance. Because when you know, it's an old saying: when money's cheap, you borrow, and when it's high, you pay cash. So you had an opportunity to pay down some loans at a lower interest rate.
That's right.
Which yeah, you know, that's just good financial sense. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, amazingly,
as a voter in Fairhope, yes. Thank you. So.
You know, we had some airport debt, and that's actually a debt that's put on the Fairhope Airport Authority, but the city guarantees that debt. And we've been subsidizing the Airport Authority, you know, with about $320,000 a year. And we were able to take about $6 million and refinance that at about 1.14%. So you're talking 1.14%. I mean, that's you know, about as close to zero as you're going to get probably in that in that business. So that'll save tens of thousands of dollars per year, and not only help wean the Airport Authority off the city, but also allow the Airport Authority to do some things and make some improvements out there so that they can generate even more revenue and become self-sufficient. And, you know, we don't have a real busy agenda tonight, so I'll just touch on that. I think that you're going to see a lot of things going on at the airport to make the Airport Authority more self-sufficient over the, you know, even within the next 6 to 8 months. We've got some structures we're going to be building over there, some hangar spaces that we're going to be leasing, and those should cash flow. And we are trying to build another building over on the east side to take care of our customers that come in, fly in and out of the city. So no passenger service or anything like that, but you know, just take care of some of the nicer airplanes, and maybe even in the future be able to fuel those, and that's pretty lucrative business. So a lot of things going on there, Mark.
Okay, yeah, airport is kind of a catch-22 situation, because you want to have a nice, busy airport. On the other hand, you do not want a nice, busy airport right there at the city.
Well, you know, we struggle with that everywhere. Yeah. We struggle with growth, you know, in the city. It's one of the hot-button issues. People want to move here, and they want to be the last one in and close the gates, and we understand that. You know, I think we all feel that way, and that it's natural to want to keep the town small. But, you know, unfortunately, the secret of Fairhope has been out for many years now, and people are flocking here in droves, and people want to live here. And the struggle is to try to just keep the growth at a maintainable pace. You hear a lot about the infrastructure, and you know, we've spent millions and millions of dollars on infrastructure improvements, and we continue to budget millions of dollars for infrastructure improvements. And you know, you hear about the sewer, and you know, Mark, sometimes I read on social media about how much sewage is going into the bay, and you know, we do unfortunately have some sewage spills, but I can tell you folks that we're not the only community on the Gulf Coast that happens to, and
yeah.
We just seem to make the news and people just want to complain. But you know, when you hear, you know, 20,000 gallons spilled into the bay or into something that goes into the bay, that's not 20,000 gallons of raw sewage. It's probably 20,000, you know, it might be 19,000 gallons of rainwater, you know, diluted into the sewage. Now, I'm not trying to make it better, but it's not what you think of and highly concentrated. It's highly diluted, and unfortunately that happens, and we're doing our best to improve our sewage system to alleviate that, and you know, the growth has just outpaced the rate at which we can fix these things.
Yeah, and even so, there's only so much you can do when you get monumental storms, and even more than that, when you compare that to what's coming down the rivers from from upriver, you know, it's infinitesimal.
That's right. And you know, we got unfortunately voted dirtiest beach in Alabama a couple of years ago. But you know, when you go down there and the geese are at their peak time, and you know, you have their feces in the water, and you go right down there to the water's edge and measure it during that peak time, you're going to get peak bacteria counts. And we've always traced that back to the avian or bird origin. That's not saying all of it is, but a lot of that bacteria count is due to the migratory birds. And, you know, we were trying to eliminate some of that flock of Canadian geese there at our beachfront. And when we do, you don't hear about those high bacteria counts. I wonder why you just don't hear about that anymore. It's because we tried to maintain that. Mm-hmm. And there were some other issues. You know, if you look at the bacteria measurements that come down Fly Creek, you know, some of them up at the headwaters where there's cattle grazing. And, you know, we've always been an agrarian community here, and there are livestock farms near here, and those can increase bacteria counts. And also the boats at the marinas, we're really keeping an eye on those and making sure that they're not dumping their sewage out into our creeks and bays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as far as the avian content down there, you know, I got some hunting buddies that'd be glad to help y'all out with that problem.
There's a lot of people that would like to do that. I know that a year ago we had passed a resolution to fund the removal of the geese, and that was not going down there and killing. We were actually going to relocate them, and now's the time to do it. I don't know where we stand on that. We may find out tonight. I may ask that question if it's time to do that.
Okay.
I know around May or June is the time to capture those birds and relocate them to another location.
Okay. Okay. Speaking of that area, I was down at the pier, enjoyed the pier Saturday night, all the way to the end, had lights on. There were a couple of lights out, but I think those were due to probably bulbs out, or maybe you got an isolating transmitter out that might be out. And, you know, that's normal. And with having just gotten power out there, I'm sure there's a lot of little things that can be done. I mean, that's, you know.
that's a real positive note we should talk about, Mark, and that's something that's going on. And I apologize for not getting on the agenda. The agenda is kind of boring tonight, to be honest, which is,
okay.
Let's talk about these things I think people want to hear about. And
right.
That is, as you said, we've got the utilities restored to the pier. Now, did you notice where the bathrooms open, Mark?
Yeah, I did not notice.
Okay, I don't know if the bathrooms are open yet, but, you know, we've got a water and a sewer and a power back out to the pier, as far as I know. And that's a real success story in that, you know, we were getting bids upwards of $230,000, $250,000. And so thank our utility crews and our public works crews, because we wound up restoring those utilities ourselves at a cost of about $35,000 to $40,000. So we saved the citizens about $200,000. But, you know, in return, we did that on the backs of the employees. So just thank an employee when you see them for doing that, because that allowed us to save, you know, a couple of $100,000.
Yeah, the contracted bid on that was $250,000.
Roughly, yes, sir.
Yeah, and y'all said, no, we can do this.
We rejected them. We got some more, and it came back a little bit higher, and we rejected that and just said, hey, let's just get our crews to do it. And, you know, they're so busy, but you know what? They put on their boots, and they went to work, and they did it.
Yeah, I was so excited. Like I said, Saturday night went out there. We could see the lights of the play that was being performed up on the bluff, and that was neat. They had the smoke machines and all the lights going and everything, and everybody down at the bay was like, oh, that's so cool. What are they doing up there?
Right,
and,
yeah.
And then other folks, you know, throwing cast nets off the end of the pier, you know, trying to do some fishing. Other folks just out enjoying the bay, and it's normal.
We call that pier the Main Street of Fairhope, and you know, it gets used a lot, and if you haven't made it down there, you know, now might be the time to go down there and just take a stroll down the pier and reconnect yourself with, you know, one of the iconic landmarks of the city.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about it is it's almost got a life and community of its own. You can go there at 1 o'clock in the morning, there'll be somebody out there playing guitar, other people out fishing, you know, there's just always somebody out there. It's own little thing. So
it sure is.
So good job. Thank you. Thank all the city employees. Thank you for your direction there.
It was just
great to see.
Absolutely.
So now we did have one item on the agenda that you said, what was it, item number 10, I
well,
think?
Yeah, there's several. We've got some, you know, some grants that we're just going to sign off on a letter for, and we got some accepting some public improvements, which are some subdivisions. When it comes time for the developer to turn those streets over to the city, for the city to maintain them, we've got a couple of those items on there. Item number 10 that you're speaking of. Oh, let's talk about item number 9.
Okay.
Item number 9 is an amendment to the lease between the city of Fairhope and South Alabama for the old library, the 16,000 square foot that's there in the Civic Center. About 2004, the city started to enter into negotiations with South Alabama, and around 2007 they finally moved into that building after making a lot of improvements. And they were leasing that building for I want to say it was $1,000 or $1,200 a year, maybe. It wasn't very much, and so that was going to expire next year, or maybe actually this fall. And so we had been negotiating with them for the past several months, the mayor and I had. And now, instead of the $1,000 or $1,200 a month, we're going to be getting $25,000 a year for that facility. And it's a shorter term lease as well, because we think in another 4 to 5 years we'll be making a lot of improvements to the Fairhope Civic Center. So we had told them, put them on notice that, you know, in 4 or 5 years we're going to need that space. I mean, that's 16,000 square feet. That's pretty sizable. So they agreed to that, and we're thankful for their efforts in negotiating in good faith to come up with a term that was agreeable to both of us.
Okay.
Both the city and South Alabama. So.
Okay. Any other items on the agenda that there's something with Thomas Hospital?
Item number 10, it was just terminating a contract that will on September the 30th for Healthy Community. That it's a wellness program that we have with Thomas Hospital, and they haven't done anything wrong. They've been great partners and done an outstanding job. But the reason is that the city of Fairhope, after many years, I mean, I know that this has come up probably every year since I've been on the council, is that we will be entering into a contract for a symbol health clinic. And that will be run for our employees and the families of our employees. And so it will save the city a good bit of money on health care. And it will be very convenient for our employees to go get health care. And one of the main reasons behind that would be what you call wellness or maintenance. Let's say you have diabetes. You need to be compliant. You know, you need to take your medicines. You need to eat right. You need to exercise. And so this will enable the employees to get quicker appointments. It will save the city money. It will allow them to get their maintenance drugs at no cost to them. And so because we're going to be entering in this contract with Symbol, the iHealthy Community will no longer be necessary.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And I just want to make that point, because there's nothing that has been wrong with that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, my son is an employee of the city of Fairhope now. I'm very proud of him. And yes. So, you know, anything that helps the city employees, I am all for, and I'm all behind that. So.
Well, and you know, and then we get it's doubly good because not only will it help the employees, but it also will help all the citizens of the city and will free up some money that will be needed elsewhere by reducing our healthcare costs, which everybody knows healthcare costs has just been going up and up and up. And we're doing everything that we can to save money on our cost of our healthcare. And we've had some success stories. We had one last year in which we saved roughly $1 million a year just in healthcare costs. So big savings there. And and a kudos to our treasurer, Kim Creech, for finding some things there. So, well, we've got some small contracts for professional services to identify the boundaries of the landfill. Some dual authentication licenses, and that has to do with security. If you know what second factor authentication, if you have a little dongle, which will give you a code when you try to log into your computer, and these dongles are synced to your particular computer to just randomly generate codes.
Right.
And so that you have to put in that code in addition to your password to log in, and that's just an extra level of protection. So we're going to be renewing a license for those.
Okay.
Metal shop work. About $61,000, which is about $12,000 over budget, but I'm sure that's necessary, and we're going to rob Peter to pay Paul on a couple of things there to pay for that. And then we have some purchases. We have a bypass pump, and then we have some gas pipe, a couple of pickups, and then we will wrap it up with a municipal water pollution prevention program report. And then there was a request to change a name. It's on an unnamed road in the city. And, you know, this is wild. This is the second one we've had in two meetings. And okay. I don't know that maybe had one other in the entire time I've been on the council. So somebody, they want to name a certain street either Alley Cat Lane or Bluffs Bend.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes tonight. You know, if it's not named, I don't know that there would be any resistance to the request. They've gone through the petition process, and the locals have requested this. So there were 9 landowners, and they have 9 signers at 100% participation. So it will probably be named one of those two tonight.
One of those two. Yeah. Okay, why not?
Why not?
Okay.
So that's it for the agenda tonight. There's only 19 items, and then of course we'll wrap it up with public participation, where you'll be able to address the council on other items of interest to you. But things are moving along really well, Mark. I think the council mayor relationships are very strong. The council relationships are strong. The employees, I hope, are happy. I know that they've just been really busy, you know, between COVID, Hurricane Sally, Hurricane Zeta, which we're not getting any federal funding for. Mm-hmm. We're going to be, speaking of Hurricane Zeta, which tore up the seawall to the south of the pier, we voted at the last meeting to make those improvements. Those should be starting soon. Okay. If they haven't already started, did you notice that? I'm sorry, Mark, I was out of town all last week on business, so I don't know if that started or not, but we'll get an update on that tonight.
Okay.
A lot going on. The Bluff, you know, the revitalization project, which we've had a lot of public input on. MPO news, we're going to have a public hearing on the Mobile River Bridge and proposed Bayway. We want to hear from you on that. And you can look at the social media. And I wish I could tell you that date, but I didn't bring my phone in here intentionally. I would be able to look at my calendar. But I want to say it's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks, a public hearing, and then we're going to meet again, I want to say, on June the 9th to decide whether to put the Mobile Bay Bridge back on our long-range transportation plan and our transportation improvement plan. So a lot going on, Mark, but I've talked a lot. What would you like to hear about?
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but if you could touch on the The high-speed internet that is looking at coming into the area.
Yes.
Do you have any kind of detail on that?
We entered into franchise agreements with two carriers, one Point Broadband and two CSpire. We negotiated with both of those companies, and it happened to be coming in almost perfectly simultaneously. We made the same terms and conditions with both companies. And so now it's just up to them to lay fiber. Both of these would be fiber-based, so it would be high speed. I don't want to get into, you know, download speeds and upload speeds. That would be up to them to advertise that. But I think it would be very high speed, very modern data. I know that we have that complaint a lot. And I think that they're going to also, they have pledged to go into areas that traditionally do not have fiber. We've been talking about Fruit and Nut District, which, you know, just is pretty difficult to lay fiber in there. We've made some concessions with them to, you know, do their boring or do their trenching there. So, you know, I'm sure that they're going to be competing with one another. So, you know, good luck to both of them, and I hope that you both come in fast and hard and lay this fiber down as quickly as you can so that people can enjoy high-speed internet at their home. A lot of people working from home these days. And also not just the Fruit Nut, but the outlying the areas. You know, a lot of developers are laying fiber or traditional copper cable when they build subdivisions. And the city's willing to accommodate these companies. If we're doing road work, you know, we've got a lot of projects going on. If we open up the ground, we've told them, come, you know, lay your conduit in the ground. We've even talked about laying conduit in the ground for future companies that may come in. It's not expensive, but it's very cheap to do that, and we're happy to do that. And then they can come in later and put their fiber in.
Okay, well, I know that traditionally overhead lines are just cheaper to do in the short term, particularly for power, cable, communications, et cetera. It's just cheaper to go, cheaper and easier to go overhead. However, long term, you want to go underground for instances like Sally, which knocked down a zillion trees. And those neighborhoods that had underground lines, underground power, underground communications, you know, they got theirs back up first,
right?
Because they didn't have to clear out those trees.
So. And Mark, I think you're going to see a mixture of, from talking to the companies, I think you're going to see some underground, you're going to see some overhead. It'd be great if they would all go underground, but even underground has its issues with, you know, with all the trees we have.
I understand.
You know, if they don't have a tree root now, give it a few years.
Give it a few years, it'll get tree roots. Yeah.
But we're excited to be able to offer, you know, two new companies coming to town to provide high-speed internet.
Yeah, we've got Harbor here at the station, and they're fantastic, Harbor Communications here at the station. But at home, there's only either AT&T or cable, and both of those have issues. And so to have two brand-new competitors would number one, be two new things to come in, and number two, might light a fire under the other two to step up their game.
I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. I think this might be public, but I believe that Harbor and CSpire are talking. So
wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I believe they're in talks to get together on some of this.
Okay, wonderful. And the rumor going around that we're going to get in Aldi's, is, can you confirm or deny that?
I can't. I simply don't know. Okay. That would be, you know, I don't know everything that comes through planning department until it gets to a higher level. So I cannot confirm nor deny, not because I'm trying to be secretive in this case. And I would tell you that I can't say, but in this case, I just don't know.
Okay.
I simply don't know. Amazing. Some people think that we should know everything that's going on, but, you know, we don't. And there are, you know, a lot of times the businesses want to remain competitive. And sometimes we can say and sometimes we can't say. But in this case, I simply don't know, Mark.
Okay. Well, thank you. Fairhope City Councilman, City Council President Jack Burrell, any final thoughts? Anything else you want to do?
You know, have fun wherever you're at, Lori. And Mark, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you and to come in here and for you to give me time to try to educate the citizens of Fairhope of what's going on in their town. And I think things are going very, very well. And I'm very thankful to be able to come in here and share, you know, my thoughts and opinions and maybe share a little bit about what's going on in our city with the people. I really enjoy it.
All right. Thank you, Jack. We appreciate you. And we're going to take a musical break, and then we'll get back to Swap Shop here in about 5-6 minutes. In the meantime, stick around. You're listening to 1480 WABF.
Check out our new website to stream us live and to hear the community contact interviews. It's WABF1480.com. That's WABF1480.com.